Blog Talk Radio.
This is the UR Tennis Network. We are the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate tennis enthusiasts who promote our sport relentlessly. We strive continuously to bring news and information for players, parents, coaches, officials, businesses, and anyone else who loves tennis. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis may not be interested in them.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alex Chan, and I'll be your host for today's Minorities in Tennis show here at the UR Tennis Network, the show where I get to interview minorities involved in this great sport and what keeps them playing. First off, a little bit about myself for those that are unfamiliar. When I'm not hosting a radio show, I serve as a community tennis representative for USTA Virginia Tennis. I am responsible for tennis in Northern Virginia, National Junior Tennis and Learning Chapters, schools, military bases, and multicultural organizations in Virginia. And I also serve as a staff liaison to our diversity committee. For more information about USTA Virginia Tennis, you can check out our website at www.virginiatennis.com. Before I introduce my guest for today, I would like to take a moment to play some words from our sponsors.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
This is Jason Haynes, the UR Tennis Network's Chief Executive Officer. Over the last 14 months, we have undergone a lot of changes here at the UR Tennis Network, and the Nike Tennis Camps have been one of our strongest supporters. They have had a very successful 2012 summer camp season and now are planning for 2013. We would like to thank them for allowing us to be an advertising avenue for their tennis camps. As we leave the summer, we want to encourage you to check out www.ussportcamps.com and start planning your next Nike camp experience. They have locations all over the U.S. for both adults and juniors. The Nike camps are offered in other sports such as golf, volleyball, soccer, swimming, softball, running, water polo, lacrosse, and field hockey. We want to encourage you to consider the Nike camp experience for your tennis needs. These camps are run by successful tennis coaches and offer a fun camp involvement where you learn new skills and make new friends. Be sure to check them out at www.ussportcamps.com or call them at 1-800-NIKE-CAMP and take your game to the next level.
And welcome back. You are currently listening to the Minorities in Tennis show here at the UR Tennis Network. Listeners are more than welcome to call in to ask the guest questions or give comments during this broadcast by calling in anytime at 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. All right, so today I will be chatting with a good friend of mine named Marvin Martinez. He is a recent recipient of the Sportsmanship of the Year Award given by USTA Mid-Atlantic Section. He also plays in over 9,000 USTA leagues. Okay, maybe that's a little exaggeration, but he does play in a lot of them. So let's put Marvin on the line. Hey, Marvin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you. So for listeners that may not know who you are, can you kind of quickly introduce yourself to everyone?
Okay. I'm Marvin Martinez. I grew up in southern PG County, Maryland. I'm Filipino-American. I went to UMBC and studied information systems, and I'm currently working full-time as a software tester. But during most of my free time, I like playing tennis.
Okay, great. And I guess, how many leagues do you play currently now?
I can't even keep track. Okay. I'm probably like in three right now, but I've, in the past year, maybe over 15, 10, 15, I don't
okay.
remember.
All right, so 9,000 was a slight exaggeration for sure. All right, well, it's all right. So I guess let's start from the beginning. How did you end up playing tennis? How did you get into the sport?
My brother was a huge fan of tennis. He's older than me by like 7 years. And so he taught me how to play when I was maybe 12, 13 years old, and I hated it at first, honestly. But he kept bringing me out there and made sure I wasn't a couch potato all the time. And he actually asked my cousins to play with me just so I would get out there and play. They actually, one of them was interviewed with you, Alex, Kevin Chong,
mm-hmm.
and his brother Kenneth also plays as well. And they grew up playing tennis with me, and I eventually started liking it. In high school, I decided to join the high school tennis team. I tried out my freshman year and made a bunch of my friends try out too. I still wasn't very good, but I just needed an extracurricular activity under my belt. And
okay.
it turned out that I was the only one that made it my freshman year out of all my friends, and it kind of made me nervous. But throughout the 4 years, I ended up loving the sport. And
okay.
that's just how I started playing.
Do you remember exactly what changed you from, you know, hating, like, not really liking the sport to enjoying it?
I think it's from meeting new people, and a lot of people in my school didn't know how to play, so even though I wasn't very good and never had been taught professionally, all the people that played in my school weren't very good as well, so I felt a little empowered just teaching others how to play the sport and just getting out there, and it made me feel good about myself. And I think it translated into the sport saying, look, I'm actually pretty good at this. So
okay.
I fell in love with it.
Okay. So I guess the way you're describing tennis at your high school, it didn't seem like tennis was a really popular sport. So I guess what do you think was the driving reason why people did try out for the tennis team?
Actually, a lot of people did try out for the sport, just not a lot of people
mm-hmm.
knew much about the sport.
I see.
I believe it wasn't very popular in the area. Like, I didn't know about any tennis programs in my area. I'm sure there were, but I had no idea. So I'm sure that's how everyone else felt in the area. And the reason why most people tried out for it is because the coaches that taught the sport at Oxon Hill, I went to Oxon Hill, the coaches that taught said, like, you don't have to know how to play, just be willing to learn. And that's what made it so popular, yet not very,
mm-hmm.
people didn't know much about the sport, I guess.
Okay, so there's a lot of people that were actually interested in the sport, they just weren't that good at it, is what you're saying.
Right, they weren't informed about it, but they were interested in it.
Okay. I guess, what did you think were people's general impression of tennis in your school?
I guess this is another factor in why people, a lot of people that didn't know about the sport tried out for it was because they thought it was an easy sport. It's not as easy as it looks. It's a lot
right.
of hand-eye coordination. There's a lot of cardio. People get the impression of, like, oh, it's very casual. It's a very casual sport. Nah, it can be, and it can be very – it's a social sport as well, but it's
mm-hmm.
a lot of hard work.
Right. Okay. So you think, I guess, at your school, it was a sport that was well accepted by, I guess, even non-tennis players, or do you think they had some type of a bias towards it?
It well accepted, just not popular. People that didn't actually try out for the sport could care less about watching it. Like, of course, football and basketball, in my school at least, those were getting advertised as, oh, fun sports. Mm-hmm. Tennis was just another sport at the school just to try out for.
Okay. Great. So now you're on the high school team. I guess how did it go? How was your years in high school tennis go?
Okay, so my first year, I didn't really know anyone on the team since no one I knew made it on the team. But everyone that was on the team previously before I joined, they were all friendly. They were better than me, and they actually taught me how to play. I was a bench warmer for my first year. Eventually, I was put in one match, I guess, a consolation match against one of the other schools, and mm-hmm. I was super nervous. I didn't know what I was doing, but I got a lot of support from my teammates and my coach, and my first match, I played double, so I had someone else who was actually new to playing a competitive match. So I had someone there with me, and after I got through it, I had a really good time. I enjoyed myself. So I think that was a turning point. As for the other years, second year, a lot of our good players left, so I actually was a starter. I played a lot of doubles and did pretty well. During my sophomore or junior year, I don't remember, I had a set doubles partner who was also the same year as me. We went 8-1, so we were almost undefeated for the season for doubles, and that gave me a lot of confidence. And my junior and senior year, I actually became the captain of the team.
Nice. Okay. And then, which year was the best, would you consider, was the best year that you had?
When it comes to my record, I believe my sophomore year when I went 8-1. My junior and senior mm-hmm. year, I played singles, and they were a lot tougher. I didn't do so well, but I had a lot of fun doing it.
That's good. Okay. After high school, you went to UMBC, which happens to be my college as well. Going into the college, did you think you were going to continue playing tennis going into college?
Even if I made sure I continued to play tennis, but I just had to find it somewhere because I couldn't just leave it. I couldn't leave it in high school. I needed to keep playing. So I knew I wasn't really strong enough to play for the varsity team, so I tried to seek out different tennis organizations, and I actually found out there was a club tennis team that was actually founded by you, Alex.
Oh, really?
Well,
I guess for our listeners, can you talk about your club tennis experience at UMBC?
Well, I went to college with my cousin, Kevin, and we both tried to find a way to play tennis competitively in college, and we found the club tennis team through you. And I remember we went out to go hit on the UMBC tennis court, me, Kevin, Alex, and your friend, Desi. I haven't heard from him, but
mm-hmm.
you guys were
yeah.
starting the club, and it was small at first. It was very small. We were one of the first members, I believe. And I was really excited about it. I was like, oh, we get to meet with other schools, meet new people. I really wanted to meet new people that played tennis as well. It was pretty exciting. And, yeah, it grew from there. From my freshman year up to my senior year, it grew a lot.
I guess for some people, it's getting better now. People are understanding what club tennis works. But I guess a lot of people don't really know that the tennis club is actually very competitive too. Can you tell us, the viewers, about what did you do while you're in tennis club during those 4 years?
It is very competitive, like what you said. I didn't expect it to be any more competitive than high school, but it was a whole new level. It was hard for me to keep up with the competition, personally. But it only made me get better. I don't remember how many schools we played our freshman year, but with each year, we scheduled more and more matches and played tournaments. And even though it was pretty tough, and it was a lot of fun. I met a lot of people, and with tournaments and everything, there was different ways to play that I didn't know about, like the World Team Tennis format. That was new to me.
Right. I guess in case anyone doesn't know what that format is like, can you go ahead and explain how that works?
Okay, so it's men and women. Men and women, there's singles, doubles, and mixed. And I believe there's two singles, two doubles, and one or two mixed. I think it really depends on whether they want to do two mixed or one mixed. Anyway, so you only play a set and up to six games, and if you're tied at 5-all, you do a tiebreaker. It's not about winning individual sets. It's about how many games you can accumulate as a team. So even though you would lose a set 6-4, those four games matter. And at the end, you add up your games, and that's who wins. So it is a team sport, and you can actually coach in the middle of the match, too, because team effort. And I thought that was a lot.
So that style is a little more team-oriented, where every game counts. So, and that's something I really liked about club tennis scoring as well.
Yep.
And I know you mentioned the competition before was it is pretty tough. Like, how would you describe a competition as it related to high school, for example?
Well, people are pretty aware that some schools, for varsity at least, recruit Division I. They're tough. And there are players that are good enough to play Division I that decide they don't want to because it's too much time out of their hands. But with club tennis, it's pretty laid back, so they decide to do that instead. So you can get players that are good enough to be on a D1 school to play for club tennis, and that just gives you an idea of how tough they can be, because I've seen players that I can't even get close to getting a game off of them just because they decided to play club tennis, which is fine. So that's how tough it can be.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I guess, do you have any, what was your one of your most proudest moments during your club tennis experience?
Proudest moment?
Or I could just remember one moment.
I don't want to say one, but I'm pretty proud that we actually went out and tried to grow the sport at UMBC. That's what I'm pretty proud of. With the help of you, Alex, and other members of the club, it was a pretty small club, but it grew a lot. I remember we've had tryouts where there are over 50, 60, 70 people try out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that was heard of, in at least from our freshman year. We didn't expect it to grow that big.
Right.
So I'm pretty proud that we actually put our name out there and showed, like, look, we have a club tennis team and we're pretty big. And we compete against other schools. And we've done well in some tournaments. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, and that's not something I'm happy about, too. It actually just reminded me something about how we actually, especially early on, because we were a club team, we were all self-supported. We always had to play tennis when it was late at night, it was cold. So we'd be playing out in like very, very bad conditions. But we still played. We still got together, and it was fun.
We worked with Louis. It was
sorry,
tough because we had to work around the varsity's schedule, and the only times we could play were at night. And people were fine with that as long as they were able to get on the courts and we even did our own fundraising, which was hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of work just to
grow
the club, but we ended up doing it because a lot of us loved the sport.
Yeah. What do you think would have happened if there was no club tennis during college? What do you think would have happened with you?
Well, for me, things would have been way different because it was a huge part of my college life, my social life at least. I met some of my best friends through club tennis. I think I would be a hermit. That's something I really love doing. Or maybe I would have found other interests. Like, I like volleyball as well. So I probably would have done club volleyball, but I don't think I would have been as into it as tennis, honestly. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe I would have studied more. Who knows?
Yeah. I can imagine, it definitely was a good thing that happened in college time.
I might have not even met you, so who knows?
Yeah, I know. That would have been a big shame. Well, before we continue going on, I just want to once again give out the call-in number for anyone that would be interested in calling to the show to ask Marvin a question or to give a comment if you know Marvin personally. The number is 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. All right. So, Marvin, I guess, is there anything else you want to talk about regarding the club tennis experience? Or do you feel like you are?
Other than that, it's not just at UMBC, but it's grown to be pretty big. It gets players out there, college students. College students didn't have a way to play unless they were on a varsity team, and some people just couldn't make it on the team. So I think it's a really great program that USTA started.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely, it was really good. And I think one of the things that is a connection between high school tennis and, I guess, leagues, which is what you're doing right now. Because before that, if you weren't on varsity team, there was a disconnect in the pathway between high school and college, and then, I guess, the real life. But now that you're in real life, you're playing a lot of USTA adult leagues. I guess, can you talk about how that got started? How did you actually even? I think you actually started playing while you're in college, correct?
Yeah, I believe the end of my senior year, one of my coaches asked me, you should do an adult league. And I was like, sure. I tried it out, and it's a lot of fun. It's basically you're on a team, and you play one match. It's scheduled against other teams in your county. That's how they do it in Maryland. You play a bunch of teams that are formed in your county. And the specific team I was on, it was an adult men league. So there was two singles and three doubles, and your captain puts you in the spot that you want to play, and you play it each time. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. 18 and over.
Okay. All right. And so that's what you were playing initially. And then after college, you started playing in more and more leagues. So how did that actually come about? How did you suddenly grow from 1-2 million leagues that you robbed?
After playing in one team, it was fun. And since after I graduated from college, I needed more tennis in my life. So I decided to join a bunch of leagues, and I became very familiar with it. There are different types of leagues, from the adult league, which is singles and doubles, men. Then there's mixed. So I get to play mixed with women, and there's also combos. So you get to play with different levels as well. And with leagues, it's very organized in a way that they split you up based on level. So someone that has played as much as I have, who has a lot of experience, wouldn't be playing someone that just picked up a racket and don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So it's fun because you get to play people that are your level, and there's different types of leagues, which keeps it interesting throughout the whole year. And eventually, I decided I want to captain a team. I've captained a team a couple times in the past. And the reward for winning these leagues, you get to play against the winners of different counties in the district. And then if you win that, then you go to sectionals, and then there's nationals as well. So it's fun. It keeps you competitive, and it helps you meet new people as well.
What's the furthest you've gone so far in leagues?
Furthest? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So the furthest I've gone is sectionals, which, for people that don't know, it's our section is the Mid-Atlantic section, which includes Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and West Virginia. So it's the winner of all of those districts playing against each other. And I went to sectionals twice. I went for the adult league and for tri-level, which is all doubles of different levels. And the most I've accomplished is actually winning sectionals, which is for tri-level. And, yep, that was a lot of fun.
Good. So I guess of all the different type of leagues that you've been involved with, which one would you say is your favorite, if you have one?
My favorite? I like all of them. But
okay.
If I have to choose, I would say the adult league, which composes of the two singles and three doubles, just because I think it's the most popular. So you meet a lot more people. There's a lot more players, and some leagues don't advance to nationals, so it gets me excited knowing that there's a chance that I can advance to nationals.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I would say adult league.
Is that also more challenging as well, because there's a lot more players involved?
Not necessarily. Yeah, there are more players involved, but then you get a lot of new players that aren't as challenging. So it really depends.
Right.
Personally, I think the most challenging for me is mixed, because sometimes I need to learn how to play doubles. I started off playing not knowing how to play doubles because I was a singles player. So it really depends. You never know.
Right.
Competition out there.
Okay. So I guess I would leave. I mean, you probably have some things that you wish were a little bit different in USTA League. What's something that you, if you could, you would change in USTA League?
I know it's not feasible, but in a perfect world, I wish league matches weren't always timed. I don't like playing against the time. It changes up the sport a little bit because you're rushing, and then there's some gamesmanship where people would actually use the time to their advantage. And I think it kind of takes away from the sport. But I know it's impossible to take the time away because you have to schedule so many matches after and before you, and getting court time is tough. But
right.
If I could change that, I wish there wasn't a time limit when it comes to matches.
So currently the time limit is an hour and a half for now?
It depends on where you play.
Right.
Montgomery County
right.
in Maryland, their matches are 2 hours.
Okay.
In most other counties and in Virginia, it's, I believe, an hour and a half. But what can you do?
Right. I mean, yeah, especially in some parts of Northern Virginia, it's tough to get court time. I know you mentioned something about gamesmanship. I guess you don't have to say any name, but what have you noticed that has happened in the past involving people taking advantage of the time?
Well, this comes with any competitive sport or anything with competition in it at all. But just from playing so much, you will see some gamesmanship where captains or players would bend the rules or use time to their advantage, because if you do play in a time match, you can time out and whoever is ahead, based on what county you are, there's different rules, but if you're ahead, then you automatically win the match. So if you know that time is going to run out, like say in a couple of minutes, you're going to take your time if you're winning.
Right.
I don't like playing that way, but there are players that do, which is a legit strategy as long as you're within the, you're
the time,
not
yeah,
abusing the time, but people do take it to their advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what can you do about that if you notice that happening? What would you do?
There's nothing you can do. As long as they're not breaking any rules, there's nothing you can do. So you just have to keep playing, and if they do that, then, oh, well, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to brush it off. You just have to tell yourself, like, oh, you should have been winning in the first place.
Yeah.
So.
How common do you think gamesmanship like that is in leagues?
How common?
How often do you actually do you think you see that? Would you say it's like
not that often? I wouldn't.
Okay.
It happens, but I don't think it happens that often. It'll happen every once in a while, and. Yeah, I don't really see it happening that often. Most matches, well, my matches would finish on time, so you don't even get to see if it would happen or not. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Not a lot.
Well, I mean, you must be doing something right because you did win recently the Sportsmanship of the Year award from USA Mid-Atlantic section.
Right.
So, congratulations again. I was fortunate enough to come with you to the event when you received it. How did you end up being chosen for this award and everything?
Well, I have to give a huge shout-out to the coordinator of Anne Arundel County in Maryland because she actually nominated me, Michelle Archibald. She's been awesome throughout my USTA career, because she's helped me find teams to play and has done a good job being coordinator for that county. She nominated me, and I found out when I got notified by USTA Maryland saying that I won the award. And I was surprised, and I had to congratulate her. And soon after, I also got informed that I won it for the section as well, which surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge deal for me because it made me feel good, still good about myself. Like, people see me as a good sport, and when I lose, then I lose gracefully, I guess. I guess that's what people think of me, and I'm pretty proud of that.
Do you believe so as well?
Well, I'm not perfect. I do get angry, and if I see someone doing something wrong or breaking the rules, then I will say something. But if I'm losing fair and square, then I won't get an attitude towards the player. I may get upset at myself, but people know that you'll get upset. Just if you're competitive, you're going to get upset. But
mm-hmm.
It's the way you handle it. Like, I know that if my opponent is better than me and they beat me, I'm going to praise them for it. I'm like, congratulations, you played better than me today, but I'll get you next time. That's how I feel. I mean, I love winning,
okay.
But everyone else does too.
Yeah. So I guess if you had to give a big tip to anyone else that's playing leagues on how to be a good sportsmanship, how to be a good sportsman, what would you say? What do you think is the biggest advice you'll give?
Okay, well, if you feel like you're going to lose your cool because of something your opponent is doing, then it won't help if you decide to just yell at them. I think the best thing you can do is get an authority figure that can actually do something about it. Just because they're just going to say, oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. Whatever you're telling me, you're wrong. You need to get somebody that can actually look up the rules for you and just You're cool.
You said look at someone with authority figure. So you mean like the captain of the team, or?
Yeah, the people in charge of the that are there right now. You can talk to the captain. If the coordinator is there, then that's great. You can talk to the coordinator. Yeah, anyone that's running the match, as long as it's fair. Like, you wouldn't want to. Well, I guess you can, but you don't want to ask like one of your teammates, like, can you look up the rules, unless your opponents know they're going to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
There's always someone that you can ask.
Cool. And great. And so, yeah, I mean, I hope you continue to be a good figure in the tennis community as a with great sportsmanship. I hope you continue. I'm sure you will. You're already a good guy. That's why you're one of my friends. So that's good. I'm trying to interrupt one last time. So we have about maybe 10 more minutes left in the show. If anyone wants to call in, now's your chance. 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. And back to Marvin. I guess just something. We're going to change the topic a little bit. So we talked about how tennis, it seems like in general from your experience, tennis has been pretty popular amongst the community here. Do you feel that tennis is right now in a good place when it comes to minority involvement in the sport?
I think so. It's growing a lot, especially with the way they change the sport for younger children. I think that's a big deal. When you start off playing as an adult and not knowing what you're doing, it's kind of disheartening. But when you're having fun as a kid playing the sport, then you're familiar with it. As a minority, yeah, there's a lot of organizations out there, like the LACTA organization, DeNovo, which is Washington Area Chinese Tennis Association, and the Filipino American Tennis Association. Those are great. Family and friends. It gives them an opportunity to play and show people the sport. So, yeah, I think it's growing.
I definitely see it because we're in the same area, in the Mid-Atlantic area. Definitely, it was one of the most diverse areas in the country. We definitely see a lot of involvement amongst minorities. I didn't know that. Like, in other parts of the country, like, while it is somewhat popular, there's actually not as many organizations that that kind of, I guess, support. So, like, for example, we have here the Washington Area Chinese Tennis Association, as you mentioned. That's actually rarer in other areas, where there's actually, let's say, there is a community where of these tennis players, they just don't form a group. What do you think would be the main draw for organizations to be developed that support tennis and minority community?
I believe just getting the word out there, and just especially with USTA doing a bunch of clinics. Like recently, I volunteered for a clinic to teach kids of military parents.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the place, and I was teaching them Quick Start, and it informs the parents as well as the kids on ways you can teach kids how to play tennis. But so as long as you get the word out there in different areas and showing them how to play and how to teach, then I believe it starts off from that.
Okay.
I don't know any other ways, I guess.
Maybe you didn't realize it, but when we were talking throughout the show, you mentioned a lot about tennis and the social impact it has had on you, such as connecting you with other people, creating friends, being social. Do you think that is one of the more important draws, then? One of the important factors?
Yeah, I think so. Meeting new people, rather than it being just a chore or an exercise to do, it's a great way to meet new people. If you if people realize how fun it can be and how social it can be while, or if people like being competitive, it can be competitive too. Word of mouth, and you can spread it around saying like, hey, look, I'm having fun and meeting new people doing playing this sport, so you should try it out. I mean, that's, I've gotten a lot of my friends to start playing for USTA just because they've seen how much I enjoy it. As long as people just spread the word, I guess.
Okay. So I guess my thing is there should be more emphasis on the social aspects of it and not really – I mean, also emphasize the competitive part as well, but it's more really the social. You think it's a good way to grow tennis. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
Well, I remember it was somewhere – I believe it was it McLean, Virginia, where there was a county fair, and – that was a great way to show how social and fun it can be as well. Like, you can incorporate
right.
Is that the correct place? Is that where we did it?
Yeah, you're talking about, McLean Day.
McLean Day. I believe that's a great way to do it. Like, incorporate it into other events that aren't maybe focused on the tennis, where you can just include it into different events, like fairs and fun social events for families.
Right. Okay, so tennis, besides, as you know, there's other sports besides tennis. There's, volleyball, baseball, soccer, football, you name it. I mean, what do you think differentiate tennis from other sports that would appeal to others?
Well, I believe tennis is, it can be an individual sport, and it also can be a team sport, which you can't really say about some sports where you're required to have a team. It teaches you how to think for yourself sometimes, and it also teaches you how to work on a team when you're playing in doubles as well. Another thing is that, before they had the mini tennis and the quick start, it was a sport that was hard to learn as a kid, at least in my opinion, just because the equipment was too big or the court was too big. And I believe it was that kind of drew children maybe away from the sport just because it was tough for them to adjust to adult-sized equipment. And in other sports like basketball, they have mini basketball toys and hoops where they can become familiar with the sport, which in tennis didn't happen until just recently, which I believe is why it's not as important. So I think it's different in a way that it's a tough sport to learn as a kid before, and it also teaches you, and it's not as fun as a kid just because you're by yourself trying to hit the ball rather than being on a team. But now that they've incorporated the new ways to play, I think it's going to be a big change for
definitely
for kids trying to learn the sport.
Definitely. And I feel like the sport, like one of the biggest things that makes it a little different from many other sports is that it's something that you can play throughout your whole life. It's something you can start early, but you can play it, until your golden years. You can't
right.
Really say the same for, football or something like that. So that's something else I really like. And I guess their aspect is actually, in a lot of ways, tennis teaches you how to be a better person in general. As I mentioned that before, we talked about sportsmanship. But even without that, tennis kind of teaches you after you play a match, what do? You go up to the net and shake hands with your opponent. You're not supposed to, trash talk, against your opponent during the match, where other sports may encourage that. So that's something that I think is also good about sport tennis. It's not just a sport, but it just teaches you how to be a better human being. So, yeah.
Well, very gentleman.
Well, Marvin. Well, yeah, yes. But at the same time, having said that, it still can get pretty, you know, competitive out there. It's definitely not a very slow, kind sport at the same time. It definitely has some competition there. So, all right. Well, Marvin, we are actually now at the end of our show. Is there anything else you would like to say before we end today's broadcast?
No, but just thanks for having me. I love talking about what I love doing, which is playing tennis, so it was fun.
And you enjoy talking to me, right?
Yes, I enjoy talking to you too, Alex.
Hey. Well, it was great having you on the show. I know it took me a while to convince you to come on, because I know you're a little shy about it, but you did
yeah,
very well.
Yeah, I'm shy, but it was fun. It was better than I expected.
I told you. See, I'm always right.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, you're more than welcome to come back on in the near future, maybe after you win. You win some more awards in the section, maybe you go to national. I'd definitely like to have you back on and talk about that experience. You know, this is good because this is something that, it's reality for you. It's not everyone knows that, you know, this exists in tennis. So it's good to have you on the show to talk about it.
Thanks, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, so yeah, so again, thank you for being on the show today.
All right.
And yeah, so for everyone else, that's it for our show today. Thanks everyone for listening. The next UR Tennis Show is actually coming up tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, titled Weak Host Tennis. To stay connected to all UR Tennis Network radio shows, you can subscribe to the radio channel at blogtalkradio.com/UR Tennis Network. Or you can also like our fan page on Facebook at facebook.com/UR Tennis. So thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to a Minority in Tennis Show. Have a good weekend, and I will talk to you all next time in 2013. Happy holidays.
Opinions stated by various contributors to UR10's radio and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR10's network. Visitors are urged to use their own discernment to draw their own conclusions. All information, products, services, and use of this website is for personal use only. UR10's radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained within the website. Any services or products provided by UR10's radio and its hosts or contributors should be used solely for entertainment and enjoyment. We emphasize the importance of keeping an open mind and not construing the data, products, and/or services as factual.